This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. Bethel's Pete Kaiser was in 12th place in this year's Iditarod Trail sled dog race as of Sunday evening when he took a break at the Old Woman River Cabin a little less than 6 hours after leaving Caltag bound for Unalakleet, according to Kaiser Racing Kennel. Mushers further ahead in the pack had passed through Unalakleet and were tracing the Norton Sound coast in search of victory in Nome, with Jesse Holmes, Travis Beals, and Paige Drobny in the top three positions. Meanwhile, back in Bethel, 3 days of sprint races hosted by the Bethel Sprint Mushers Club ended on Saturday with a win for Queethluck musher Michael Larson, who took home $12,000 of a $75,000 total race purse. Larson clocked the fastest total elapsed time for three consecutive 32-mile runs from Bethel to Oudtmaatloch and back at a little under 6 hours and 48 minutes. Bethel's Maurice Andrews, who took third in this year's Bogus Creek 150 just behind Larson, came in roughly 15 minutes behind Larson in elapsed time to clock the second fastest time. This year's Bogus Creek 150 champion, Mike Williams Jr. of Akiak, took third, despite having the fastest time on Saturday's third and final sprint race. Akiachuk's Shoveler Wassily Jr. and Queethluck's Jim George rounded out the top five mushers of 14 teams that ran the races. Larson has made what is just his second year racing dogs count, coming off a first place finish in the Akiak Dash and a second place finish in the Bogus Creek 150. Next up in local mushing, the Kuskokwim 300 sponsored February 50 doubles race is scheduled for Saturday, March 21st. That's scheduled to be followed close behind by the 2-day campout race on Saturday, March 28th. This year's risk of river breakup flooding is above average for much of the state, according to a report released Friday by the Alaska Pacific River Forecast Center. The heightened risks apply broadly to the interior, much of the Yukon River, the Tanana River, and the lower Kuskokwim River. Factors for the increased flooding risk include above average snowpack, average to above average river ice thickness, high water when freeze-up occurred, and rough ice conditions or freeze-up ice jams reported at multiple interior locations. Snowpack for the upper Yukon River and Tanana River basins, as well as across much of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta, has been as much as 1.5 times above the average this winter. Rivers in the interior part of the state have seen above-average ice thicknesses following the coldest winter in the region in 30 to 50 years, according to the report. Ice thickness in early March on the Tanana River at Nenana tied the thickest ever recorded for that time of year, reaching 51 inches. High water levels and jumbled ice conditions for interior waterways during the fall freeze-up have increased the chance of ice jam flooding along the lower Yukon River and portions of the Kuskokwim. The average date of breakup on the lower Kuskokwim River at Bethel is May 9th. The average date for communities at the mouth of the Yukon River is May 20th. The report says it's still too early to tell how all the melting ice and snow will play out. Near normal temperatures predicted through May for Western Alaska could lead to a dynamic breakup and ice jam related flood risks on much of the Yukon River. But the report says there is also a potential for above normal temperatures during the same period, which would significantly reduce flooding risks along both the lower Yukon River and Kuskokwim. The exceptions are the Koyukuk River Basin in the western interior and the south-central part of the state, which face a lower threat of breakup flooding due to below-average snowpack, according to the report. The Forecast Center plans to release its next spring breakup report on April 10th. Alaska is on track to receive more than $1 billion from the federal government over the next few years to improve health care in the state. But millions of that depends on the legislature passing several bills aligning Alaska with best practices for rural health care. So far, some of the changes have been fairly uncontroversial, but as Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra reports, a proposal that would make it easier for out-of-state nurses to practice in Alaska is facing fierce pushback.
When you boil it down, Alaska Hospital and Healthcare Association head Jared Kosin says joining a so-called license compact is pretty simple. He says there would be a set of criteria nurses would demonstrate.
And if they do, then they are issued a license within whatever states in the compact, and then they can practice in any states that use those same standards as set by the compact.
Proponents say joining a compact would help ease a nurse shortage across the state that's projected to worsen. A 2023 report showed 1 in 5 registered nurse positions across Alaska were unfilled. Cosin says it may be simple to explain, but actually getting a bill passed to join the compact has been anything but.
It's just so snagged up in politics.
The last version of the bill was introduced in 2023. It was supported by most healthcare organizations in the state, but it was opposed by nursing unions. He says that created a toxic dynamic. And this year, there's new pressure on the legislature thanks to the Rural Health Transformation Program. When the state health department applied for the money, it told the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services the state would join the compact.
CMS has been very clear that these are things that they want to see, and if you don't get them passed through legislation, there will be financial consequences to the state.
That's Ann Zink, emergency room physician and former chief medical officer of Alaska. The state's been directed by CMS to create compacts for other healthcare positions too: physicians, emergency medical services, psychologists, and physician assistants. The State Department of Health doesn't know exactly how much money would be clawed back if Alaska doesn't pass all the required legislation, including the Nurse Compact Bill. But a health department official wrote over email that a ballpark estimate is that millions of dollars is at stake annually and tens of millions of dollars over the 5 years of rural funding. State Senator Kathy Geisel, Republican from Anchorage and a nurse, said she won't vote for the bill as is. She's worried because she says it would mean Alaska turns over regulatory authority to a national organization.
I certainly respect their expertise in the profession of nursing, but Alaska is different. We have reasons that we need to regulate our own nurses. We have cultural differences than other states in the lower 48. We have distances and issues like that.
And she says even if the bill is altered, the compact can't be. It has to be joined as written. Shannon Davenport is a union leader and nurse working in behavioral health and hospice care in Anchorage. She says there are many problems with the nursing field right now, especially workplace safety. And she doesn't think the nursing compact is the solution to them. She says the compact is designed to serve institutions, not always nurses.
It's not the golden goose. It's not the answer to everything. It's not the magic key that's going to unlock everything.
Even so, most nurses support a compact. Almost 90% of nurses living in Alaska, according to a 2023 survey, and 85% of union nurses do. Legislative leaders say they're reviewing the proposals closely and weighing the pros and cons. But at least this year, Cosin says he's not expecting much progress.
I feel like we've completely lost vision for what the policy is, what the merits of this bill are, and it's just going to continue to be in a fight. So at this time, am I optimistic? I'm not.
Lawmakers do have one more session to consider the idea. The federal deadline to join the compact is at the end of 2027. In Anchorage, with additional reporting by Eric Stone, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yuktun Ganamjit coming up.